Our reading is number 615, The Work of Christmas by Howard Thurman, and I invite you to turn to that reading and also to keep your hymnal open to that during today's reflection and our time. One thing you should know about Howard Thurman was an African-American theologian, preacher, professor, mystic, just one of the great writers, thinkers, people connecting with ways of being and feeling and head and heart in the world. He was born probably in West Palm Beach in 1899 and grew up in Daytona Beach. And then he, interestingly enough, he traveled over 100 miles away to go to Jacksonville, Florida, to attend, I think it was called the Florida Baptist Academy, but it was one of only three African-American high schools that he could attend and get to. Just think about that in the space of opportunity and what things happen. But he was widely traveled, and one of the things he did was he visited Mahatma Gandhi. He actually went over and spent time with Gandhi, and he became a civil rights activist, nonviolent activist. He was a roommate, a classmate, of Martin Luther King's father at Morehead College. And then he was at the chapel at Boston University when Martin Luther King studied there. So he was a great influence on that. He was a friend of the family and in the family there as well. So that's why I think in this context, the other thing to know is this carpet is inspired by a piece from Howard Thurman, which is the idea of, it's an essay called The Luminous Darkness, that's sort of out of the soul of connection and existence rises the light that becomes the spirit expression of who we are in the world. The Luminous Darkness by Howard Thurman. So this is a piece, The Work of Christmas. We read this at the end, or we conclude our Christmas Eve service with this piece every year. So I thought we'd spend time with it today. When the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the brothers and sisters, and to make music in the heart. So just hold that with you and leave it open. And yes, Christmas is full and busy, stressful, emotional. And I would say it's all connected and emerging from a true underlying goodness and power. My job as minister and getting into this job has made it where every year a part of it is I get to connect with that true underlying power and goodness of Christmas spirit and Christmas soul. I didn't do that before I got in this space. I just went through Christmas and I wanted to get into the Christmas spirit. But I find myself now sitting with little moments and realizing, oh, this is what this is all about. This is what we should be doing. And I don't mean just Christmas. I mean every day. I went to the Flat Rock Christmas Spectacular on Thursday and let's see, I saw Claire Crook and Sal Mandarino and Bill White and Susan White and I don't know, was there anybody else from this congregation singing in it? But it is a big, exciting deal. It was fun. It was bright. It was powerful. There were spirit and lights, tradition. There were lots of families because school's out, so it was families and memories. But there was one line in a song that wasn't a Christmas song or Christmas carol, really, that resonated. And the the country music singers were singing it. I've forgotten their names. Ben? Carol? Anyway, there it was naming all the things to do, and then it said, there's so much to do, I miss you. Sort of that moment, that feeling moment. I miss you. So much to do, I miss you. That could be, I miss me, you know? So much to do, I'm missing me. Or so much to do, I'm missing Christmas. So much to do, I miss you. I was entertained. It was powerful. It was fun. And then there was that line that sort of went, ooh, I get this. Christmas scene 2 weeks ago, Christine Hicks is here today, and it was 2 weeks ago on Saturday that we were supposed to have Terry Hicks Memorial here, but you remember the snowstorm? And how many inches of snow did you get? Like 10, somebody said 12. I think there was 10 at my house, sticking a ruler in it at some point. Well, we had to go through all this of, are we going to do it? What are we going to do? There was tension about it, making the call, and then we canceled this. But we still had the luncheon. Christina and her daughters went ahead with the luncheon at Highland Lake Inn, which was at noon. And we got there, and then we had the memorial service, in a way, for Terry. It was wonderful. There were 85 people there. So we're in this space of memory and appreciation, of grief, of loss, of celebration, of family, of togetherness, of friends, of the community, all in this space of being snowed in a way. Well, I got through with it, and we all left, and they were cleaning up. And I went, I've got my paddling clothes in the car. I'm going paddleboarding. And so I came back here and changed in the office and went to Wolf Lake. And it had just warmed up. It was about 3, and about this time at 3 o'clock, it's beginning to get dark. The sun is going behind the trees enough that you're in shadow. But it warmed up just enough that the snow all piled up on the trees. And you know how many leaves, how many branches broke in the pine trees. But the snow was just enough, warmed up just enough that it was releasing. At times it would just go down in the water. Or sometimes it would break and like icebergs calving and just fall, splash, and then ripples would go up in the water. So I was in this white world. Nobody was traveling on canoes, so it was quiet. But I've gotten into the bad habit of counting my strokes while I paddle. So that here I was in this scene, and I'm counting the strokes on either side of the board. I'm going 1, 2, 3. My head was down. You know, I was looking at the front of the board. At first, I was a little nervous about falling in, you know, because it was cold. Now, the ice hadn't started to form in the lake. That was several days later when it started. But I was counting my strokes. And then I thought, I'd been doing this the last week. I thought, you don't want to count your strokes. Try to be present here. And this is actually inspired by something Todd said to me, 2 years ago, and I never did it. He said, why don't you keep a journal about what you're reflecting on while you're paddling? And I never did that because I just wanted to try to be present. And then I realized, I'm just counting my strokes. I'm not even reflecting. You know, I'm doing this. So then I focused on my breath. I just focused, okay, breathing in, breathing out while I was doing it. The strokes disappeared. The numbers disappeared. My head came up. I was looking around. I was present. I wasn't scared. I wasn't thinking these strokes. And I got into that sense of presence, of being present. And there was a sense of goodness and beauty. I was actually in that moment of peace. And I know a lot of you are thinking, wait a minute, I can't do that, or that's... No, you can do that anytime. I've started doing it driving. I'm perfectly conscious of paddling and balancing on the board and going along, but I'm in the rhythm, and then my head's up, and I'm good. I'm in it. I'm not in the counting my strokes. I'm not in the getting from here to there. So much of life is like counting strokes. Numbers, goals, eyes locked to the front. So much of it is just getting from here to there. And yet, I know there's so much more. Not in a dramatic way, but in a quiet way. There's so much more. Right where we are and with who we are. So much to do. I miss you. So I want you to take a moment and just breathe. Focus on your breath. I mean, we're always breathing all the time. We just forget it. Focus on your breath and look at Howard Thurman. We're going to spend some time with Howard Thurman and with Christmas. Breathe in. Breathe out. There's both an underlying goodness and a power that provides the connecting energy for the all that we do. So before the poem begins, we actually read the sacred hoop, which is the piece before it. But if you look in the book, before it begins, what has happened? When the song of angels is still, when the star is gone, what is the event? It's the birth, right? The goodness and power, the miracle of life that's in each of us. Not what we do, it's the who we are and are to be amidst the spectacular of all we do and the issues and layers of life. I think words of Savior, Lord, King have their function, but they take us away from that gentle underlying realness and wisdom. In the song line, there is the you I miss. Many of you have heard me say, tell my story of when my daughter Hannah was born. And I was in the midst, so she was born, it was a C-section, and I was the first, so as a result, I was the first person to hold her beside the doctor. The doctor just, here she came, and the doctor goes here. And I go, oh, okay. And I've got her, and I had to take her to where she got cleaned up and weighed, and the nurses all came to see her. They go, ooh, that's a big baby. That girl's going to eat some groceries. And so I was in that space, and then I had to go and pick up Hannah's grandfather from the airport and bring him back. So this was in the morning. This was close to lunch. And he wanted to stop and get some food. He was hungry, so we stopped at Wendy's. And it was crowded. It was lunchtime, and there were lots of people, and I'd already eaten, and I wasn't in that space, but I was in this child space. And I looked around while he's putting his order. I looked around at the crowd, like looking out at you and all of us different people, and I had this big aha moment. I went, wow, every one of these people was once a baby. And you go, yeah, that's obvious, duh. But what I meant was, right in that moment, every one of them was as special as my daughter was right then, in possibility and potential, in being, even just being there. One human family taking care of the child. And we're here. I heard this when I was sitting with Howard Thurman, too. It says, when the song of angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock. I realized when the shepherds are gone, we'd gone home, and Hannah's grandmother arrived at our house that evening and didn't want to wake us up. So she slept in the car. When the shepherds arrive, or when the wise men come. And she stayed in her car. And what was she there for? She was there to help us out, to show us how, to tell us not to be afraid, and to live in the how and who we needed to be, to do what? Simply raise a child. You don't have to be a parent to raise a child, but for all of us, raise a child, even the child within us. You can think of the angels, of the wise men, of the women, of the, so it should be wise women, of the shepherds, to raise the child. And after, as I lived that out through the years, I said that that was the most joy and the most work of anything I've ever done. The work of Christmas begins. And if you look down at this reading, if you hold it and just look at it, you're always asking me, Jim, what do we do in the world the way the world is? The list is right there of what to do. Guidelines for what to do every day, how to take the work of Christmas into the world. And I would say you add one thing to that. You breathe. Get your head up and you look around. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations. That could be your focus for social justice. It could also be your focus for children. It could be for the children in each of us, for the children of the world. I go through them like that and think about examples. To heal the broken, it could be the broken within us. It could be those outside of us. It could be after watching the movie Newtown and talking about how do we end gun violence. It could be addressing gun violence as a public health issue and heal the broken. To feed the hungry, those outside of us, those inside of us, our family and friends. I was at a big Christmas Eve dinner last night and we all prepared it together and stirred it around to feed the hungry. To release the prisoner within, the prisoner in each of us so that we get to be fully ourselves. To address mass incarceration as a new iteration of Jim Crow. To rebuild the nations, that gets tough, but it could be that sense of how do we participate to bring peace among the brothers and sisters. I had somebody tell me this week, I'm sorry, but I'm not talking to my neighbors who don't vote the way I do. I can't do that. To bring peace among the brothers and sisters. Be in that space, but how do you reach across, even in the space of your community and your world, to be challenged by that? To what end does this all work? It's to make music in the heart. That's the last line. To make music in the heart. Not the mind, but the heart. The heart of love. The space of our feelings. The most joy and the most work of anything I've ever done. Work and joy. And joy to the world is in the work and the practice. So take a moment to just sit with that. Look at it. You're thinking, you're counting strokes. You're going, how long till this is over? What am I going to do when I get out of here? You know? How do we do this, that, and the other? Just breathe. Quit counting strokes. Keep paddling in rhythm. And then reflect. What does it say to you when you go find the lost, heal the broken, feed the hungry, release the prisoner, rebuild the nations, bring peace among the brothers and sisters? What comes to you? Would anybody like to share something that they thought? I thought as I was sitting there, standing here, find the lost, heal the broken. If you came here this morning feeling sad and depressed? What is it how to address even in myself? Okay, what is it that's doing that? How am I lost? How do I begin to pull that? Or do you reach out to a person that you know is hurting to say, tell me about it. Let me hear. Let's be together. Let's breathe together. Those kinds of things. Anybody else? Yeah, Keith. Ooh. And Ram Dass' book was How Can I Help? How Can I Care? That's you're also hearing the kindness in this piece. We're here to walk each other home. Anybody else? Yeah. You want to use a mic here, Pat? Okay.
I was talking to my niece on the phone this morning. She has, he was 10 years old. You could have guessed that he might be a college student. So anyway, I thought that was wonderful.
Wow. 10-year-old Finn said, I found out that the soul of Christmas is in us. So, you have two presents that you've unopened this Christmas. Oh, Marina.
I just wanted to share a little thing about because it's all about birth and giving birth and the miracle of birth. And in Transylvania, actually.
I had a request for the microphone, so.
Okay. So, is it on?
It's going to be on.
It is. Oh, yes. Thank you. So, I just wanted to share a little piece from Hungarian wisdom. In Transylvania, when someone is an expectant mother, what they say about her is that she's got the future coming. That's the way she's addressed, you know. And it's interesting because the word future and coming is the same word in Hungarian.
What is it?
Jövő. Jövő means it is to come. And it is the future, basically. So,
thank you. Was that raising your hand or just correcting your hair? I just. Okay. Susan.
So I'll just share something that happened a week or so ago. I was going over to stay with a friend of mine who has a brain tumor and has lost a lot of feeling in one side of her body, and now she can't even move that side of the body. But so it was kind of tough. I was going to stay with her while her husband went and had a dental procedure. So I was like, what can I do? What can I do? You know, how can I make this a good visit and stuff? And I thought, I'm going to ask her if she'd like me to help her address Christmas cards. And so we did that. We did that on two different occasions. And she coached me through all of these European addresses because she's lived all over the world, a lot in Europe. And we had a great time. And it was like, oh, Christmas gave me a really good way of being with her.
Thank you. So as I said, you have two presents. Breathing. So you're not counting strokes. And then you have the work of Christmas for every day and how to make it yours. And then how to make the world real in you every day, no matter what's going on around you. So it can be as powerful as that or as gentle as a smile to your neighbor. The work of Christmas begins. So, Merry Christmas. Keith, what was it that Mary Garrison said? Ram Dass.
We're here to walk each other
home. We're here to walk each other home, and the soul of Christmas is in me and you.